This is a story of what it is to be gay in Hollywood.
It's called Gay Hollywood, and they'd follow you around with a camera, basically, for 8 months.
So do you feel like you've gotten meetings or into doors just because someone...
Yes.
And later in the sweat, a subway car, I look at the faces that made it this far. Folks with babies and jobs and cars, thinking thoughts about where they are.
Jimmy, I got your number. I need to make you mine. You're my magnificent obsession.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A major Euro court ruling affirms queer couples' rights, Hollywood hopefuls measure the lavender ceiling in a new cable drama, and a wolf obsession, a lot of Lindsay, and a different Weigel tune up the audiophile. You'll discover all that and more this week on the 800th edition of This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupre.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending July 26, 2003. The European Court of Human Rights this week strongly affirmed equal legal standing of same-gender couples for the 45 countries which are signatories to the European Convention on Human Rights, including 33 which currently do not recognize them. The seven judges ruled unanimously that it was illegal discrimination to evict an Austrian gay man from the Vienna apartment he'd shared with his partner after the latter died. That reversed the Austrian Supreme Court's 1996 finding that the nation's tenancy protections for so-called life companions applied only to heterosexual couples. Indeed, the European Court declared that differences in treatment based on sexual orientation require particularly serious reasons by way of justification. International Lesbian and Gay Association Europe spokesperson Kurt Krickler said in a statement that the case has even wider implications. The Austrian government argued that this discrimination was necessary to protect the family. In rejecting this comprehensively, the court has demolished the main argument used around the world by the religious right for continued discrimination against same-sex partners. Plaintiff Siegmund Karner is not a part of the celebration. He died almost 2 years ago, but the court felt the issue was so important that the case should go ahead.
The European Union's Charter of Fundamental Rights, along with the United Nations' Universal Declaration of Human Rights, is the basis for a sweeping human rights bill for Taiwan, which an advisory panel finished drafting for the government this week. One article includes sexual orientation among 14 grounds for which the freedom and rights everyone is entitled to should not differ. Another declares that people have the right to marry and form families according to their free will. Families formed by same-sex couples are allowed to adopt children according to relevant regulations. However, activists are somewhat skeptical as to the bill's ultimate enactment, since it's been in development for more than a year and has yet to be approved by the cabinet. At least one lawmaker from an opposition party has already expressed concern at the prospect of equal adoption rights for gays and lesbians, saying it requires extensive discussion.
A move to create constitutional protections from discrimination, including that based on sexual orientation, stalled this week in Guyana in the face of intense anti-gay opposition from an array of religious groups. The Guyana Human Rights Association, which supports civil rights protections for gays and lesbians, had called for delaying even the parliamentary debate on the issue because of the high pitch of emotions. The parliament did debate the bill for 4 hours this week while Christian opponents demonstrated outside, but no vote was taken as lawmakers instead sent the bill back to a committee. Guyana's National Assembly actually unanimously approved the same measure 2 years ago as part of a larger bill, but most lawmakers on both sides of the aisle now oppose it. They say they hadn't noticed the sexual orientation provision in the earlier proposal, which was ultimately vetoed by President Bara Jagdeo, who cited religious opposition. Jagdeo announced this week that his administration and most of his ruling party will not support the current version. Christian, Hindu, Muslim, and Baha'i groups have all denounced the bill, fearing it would lead to same-gender marriages and gay and lesbian adoptions. the Roman Catholic Church is the only religious group in Guyana to support the anti-discrimination bill under the vocal leadership of Bishop Benedict Singh. University students have also been lobbying for the measure.
Government employment of gays and lesbians in Singapore, where a sodomy law remains on the books but is not strictly enforced, has also drawn religious protest. Prime Minister Goh Chok Tong told Time magazine that his government now allows gays and lesbians to serve even in sensitive positions in a policy change implemented without previous announcement to local media in order to avoid conservative backlash. Time quoted him in early July saying, "So let it evolve, and in time the population will understand that some people are born that way. We are born this way and they are born that way, but they are like you and me." While not going so far as to enforce an anti-discrimination policy, Goh believes that gays and lesbians have to be open about their sexual orientation in order to avoid extortion. Gays and lesbians and their allies welcomed the announcement and hoped that it might support previously denied official registration for their organizations. But the head of Singapore's National Association of Trade Unions was quick to say that their employment rights were not a union concern and to warn that they would face severe backlash if they pushed for further civil rights advancement.
Despite Egypt's influential anti-gay Muslim movement, an appeals court in Cairo this week overturned the debauchery convictions of 11 gay men arrested based on wiretap telephone conversations. Presiding appellate Judge Moazer El Marsafi said from the bench, "We are so disgusted with you, we can't even look at you. What you did is a major sin, but unfortunately the case has procedural errors and the court had to acquit all of you." The men had faced from 1 to 3 years imprisonment for their April convictions, which drew international protest. A total of 16 men were arrested in the same February sting operation, including 2 who were acquitted in the trial court and 3 who went into hiding and were tried in absentia. According to the international group Human Rights Watch, prison guards beat the men repeatedly. HRW was joined by Amnesty International and ILGA, the International Lesbian and Gay Association, in welcoming the appellate decision while noting that it falls far short of affirming individual rights and warning that Egypt's persecution of gay men continues.
The best-known incident in the campaign, the May 2001 raid on a gay-friendly Nile riverboat club that led to 52 arrests, also led to some appeals decided last month. After an initial trial in a security court and a March retrial for 50 in a civilian court ordered by President Hosni Mubarak, 29 men were acquitted and 21 sentenced to 3 years imprisonment. Last month, the appeals court freed 4 of those men by reducing their sentences to the time they'd already served. A dozen others, who'd appealed, failed to appear in court but could try again. They're believed to be in hiding.
Meanwhile, there have been a number of recent civil rights advances in the U.S. This week, the California State Senate voted by a 2-to-1 margin to add gender identity or expression as a category protected from discrimination under the state's Fair Employment and Housing Act. The California Assembly had already approved the measure, and it's now up to embattled Democratic Governor Gray Davis to make his the 4th U.S. state to protect transgenders. A bill to further expand the legal standing of the state's registered domestic partners also awaits his signature, while Davis is facing a recall vote in October.
Arizona Governor Jane Napolitano in late June issued an executive order prohibiting sexual orientation discrimination in state employment. Her order applies only to agencies in her executive branch of the state government. Some Republican lawmakers are reportedly considering a legal challenge to the order, since the Arizona legislature failed to pass a much broader gay and lesbian civil rights bill as recently as 2001.
Nevada is notorious for having the United States' most powerful measure against legal recognition of same-gender couples, an amendment to the state constitution that was adopted by 2 landslide referenda. Yet state legislators quietly passed a law that went into effect at the end of June, extending hospital visitation to anyone an individual designates, including a same-gender partner.
Partners also won new recognition in June from General Electric Company, number 5 of the Fortune 500, as its new union contracts extend health care benefits to gay and lesbian employees, same-gender domestic partners. One of GE's major holdings is the NBC television network, which will now follow all the other major U.S. networks in extending those benefits.
And also in the business sector, the directors of the largest private employer in the U.S., discount retail chain Walmart Stores, with more than a million workers worldwide, in early July explicitly added sexual orientation as a category protected under its non-discrimination policy. That leaves oil giant ExxonMobil as the only member of the Fortune Top 10 which has failed to adopt such a policy, a move shareholders once again rejected at the end of May.
And finally, Hollywood this week mourned the passing of British-born, openly gay director John Schlesinger, who broke new ground with gay themes in major mainstream films. He died at age 77 of a stroke. He won 3 Oscars for the pioneering Midnight Cowboy, the portrayal of a male sex worker and his meaningful relationship with a grifter that in 1969 became the only X-rated film ever to win the Best Picture Oscar, although it was later reclassified R. He was nominated for another Oscar for his 1971 film, Sunday Bloody Sunday, which depicted a dramatic triangle in which a man and a woman both loved the same young man. His last feature was The Next Best Thing, something of a flop in 2000, in which Madonna played an unmarried mother who co-parents with her gay best friend, played by gay actor Rupert Everett. Schlesinger's 40-year career featured numerous other films as an actor and director in the U.S., Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. Queen Elizabeth made him a commander of the British Empire. He's survived by his partner of 30 years, Michael Childers. Schlesinger once said, "I'm only interested in one thing, that is tolerance. I'm terribly concerned about people and the limitation of freedom. It's important to get people to care a little for someone else. That's why I'm more interested in the failures of this world than the successes."
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 26, 2003. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
Chris Wilson and J.D. Doyle offer a passionate newcomer's magnificent obsession, but they've got a lot of different and the same sounds for you to sample, too, later in the program.
Hooray for Hollywood. That's gooey, bally, hooly Hollywood.
On August 11th, U.S. Cable's American Movie Classics will debut the AMC project, Gay Hollywood, a documentary-style look at 5 young gay men climbing the Tinseltown ladder. In this preview, This Way Out's Steve Pride chats with 4 of the gay men profiled.
Being gay in Hollywood has never been more accepted, with openly gay producers, writers, and studio heads attached to some of the most successful films and TV shows in the business. But what is it really like to be young and gay in Hollywood? Does it open doors or slam them shut? Does it make any difference at all? If being gay is a plus, then do your looks matter? The AMC cable channel tackles these questions in the AMC project, Gay Hollywood, a documentary produced by Fenton Bailey and Randy Barbado, that looks at 5 young gay men climbing the Hollywood ladder.
This is the story of... I don't know what you're going to make this the story of.
This is a story of getting a very limited view of what it is to be gay in Hollywood.
This is the story of 5 fabulous, fierce, attractive, outgoing, homosexual men trying to make it in Hollywood.
My name is Q. Allen Broca. I go by Allen. I'm a writer and director. I directed a series of short animated films called Rick and Steve, the happiest gay couple in all the world, and that's pretty much what got my name out there. I have 2 other short films on the circuit called Roberta Loved and one called 70. I actually was meeting with Randy and Fenton about working on another project for AMC as a filmmaker, and they ended up not doing that with AMC and said, you know, we've got this other thing. Do you want to be in this? It's called Gay Hollywood, and they'd follow you around with a camera, basically, for a month. It turned into 8 months. And I said, oh, yeah, totally, that'd be cool. And at one point, Fenton goes, well, isn't he too successful for that? And Randy goes, oh, no. I said, great.
I'm Micah McCain. I have an alter ego, Bridget, of Madison County. Growing up, I didn't think I was in a shielded household. But, like, my mom wouldn't let me watch Too Close for Comfort because Jim Jay was on there. I also act. people told me that I couldn't be gay, you know, old agents, all that stuff, tone it down, know this, know that. And it's like, you know, I'm just going to be me and I'm just going to make it happen. And that's what I hope people take away from this, the, you know, the next generation of the twinks. May the girls be proud and strong about being themselves and about striving.
One of the more controversial assertions in the documentary is provided by screenwriter Benjamin Morgan.
Whatever you've got at your disposal in this town, you have to use it. And it's like, and it's not all talent. I mean, I can write a brilliant script, and if no one's going to read it, like, it just doesn't matter. So
do you feel like you've gotten meetings or into doors just because someone was attracted to you? And then did that lead to something that is worth?
No, not yet.
My name is Benjamin Morgan, and I am a writer. The whole idea of, like, using whatever's at your disposal in gay Hollywood was kind of a subject that everyone seemed a little, like, tenuous and touchy on, whereas I was just, like, attacking it full tilt. Like, a lot of the guys were saying, like, well, it's all what's on the page. It's all, like, your talent, 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 talent. And while I believe that's the most important thing and definitely is true, there are other factors that come into play. If you talk to people in Hollywood, there's no one way that anyone makes it in this town. For every person that's successful, they all have a different story of how they got there. So my approach to gay Hollywood, or Hollywood in general, has always been, like, use whatever's at your disposal. I mean, I'm not dashingly good looking, but I'm not unattractive. And so that's something I try to use when I'm out schmoozing and meeting people. Is it going to get me a job? Not necessarily. Is it going to get my script bought? Probably not. Is it going to get someone to possibly read my script that wouldn't otherwise? Yes.
During the documentary, filmmaker Alan Brocca lived in an apartment without a kitchen and was seen washing his dishes in the bathtub. Now he's in post with his first feature, Eating Out. He doesn't agree with Morgan that looks play a big role in gay success.
I don't think that it's much of a factor. What ultimately matters is what's on the page, what you are projecting onto the screen. Some of the other guys didn't believe me. They thought, well, you know, I'm going off my looks. And I was like, well, you know, us ugly people don't have that problem. So boo-hoo for you. You know, I go in with my work representing myself, and that's always what gets me the job. No one I know that's a talented filmmaker has gotten a meeting because of their looks. No one I know has gotten into doors because of their looks. The ways in which I've seen that helpful is just on a very, very grassroots level on raising money. If you're shooting an independent film and you run into some loaded person who isn't really in the industry and he's like, oh, this cute little gay guy wants to make a film and I'm going to write him a little $5,000 check. Yeah, that's where the charm comes in. But even then, there's a limit. I mean, someone might write me a check for a couple $1,000s to help me make a film because they think I'm cute, but I don't think someone's going to write me a check for $1 million. Which is what it takes to make a serious film, you know.
I'm Dustin Lance Black. I go by Lance because that's what my mom calls me. And I'm a film director. If you're a gay guy or a woman, hopefully you've heard of a couple of them. Starting way back, I did Something Close to Heaven, which is now on the Sundance Channel and has been for the past couple of years. And then Journey of Jared Price is one of my films that really got out there, which is always a little strange and painful to know so many people have seen it. And then On the Bus last year came out. Coming up is My Life with Count Dracula.
None of the guys profiled in gay Hollywood say their sexuality has held them back. Quite the opposite.
It's very important in my life because it's where my heart lies. So it does translate into my filmmaking. I think there were a lot of stories I was eager to tell early on that had to do with my sexuality, and because that's what was on my mind. I was in my early 20s. Sex is very important. Sex is still very important, but now it's different relationships catch my mind that aren't necessarily gay relationships. But you know what I always think? I think it's like, and I don't know if it's going to remain true for future generations. I almost hope it doesn't, because it means that there won't be the prejudice out there. But I think that because in my generation and previous generations, being gay and being sort of young and gay, you were very aware of the people around you. You're very aware of how you were behaving around people because it was like a self-preservation thing. Like, you didn't want to be gay bashed. You didn't want to be hurt. You sort of wanted to sense how people were treating you, seeing you, all that sort of stuff. Plus, because, you know, you were going through some painful stuff, most likely, in adolescence, I think you're more empathetic. You sense other people's struggles. So I think in that way, gay people tend to make good storytellers. They're able to sort of sense what other people might be going through or feeling, or at least relate to them.
And I think that's important. And I think that's something gay people bring to storytelling and filmmaking and art in general. I'm pretty thrilled about being gay and pretty excited about being openly gay. So I like boys, men, you know.
The fifth participant in the film was actor-model Robert Laughlin. The AMC project, Gay Hollywood, debuts in the USA on Monday, August 11th on the American Movie Channel. Check your local listings for showtimes. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Who's gay in Hollywood? Who's homosexual in Hollywood? Who's undetectable acting hetero? And who at Metro has locked their closet door tight?
Hello, I'm Bruce Valanche. When I'm not writing for the Oscars or lounging at Sky Bar with Bette or Whoopi, more Olive's Girl, thank you, I'm listening to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine.
A wolf is at the door with her debut CD. Lindsay leans toward anti-folk, and Weigel records undercover in this month's audiophile.
It's a sad, sad day. Can't do anything about it. Can't do anything at all. It's such a sad, sad day. Can't see. Nothing's any fun. What can you do when you've lost your true love? When your best friends won't even cheer you up? People say, hey kid, where's your sense of humor? Losing you's as funny as a brain tumor.
Magnificent Obsession is the title of the debut album by Terry Wolfe. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. Terry has said that being an indie artist has let her bring pure expression into her first album, an album whose title has special meaning to her.
I think Magnificent Obsession deals with a topic of passion, really, and I think that it speaks to who I am more than anything else. I'm a really passionate person about the things I believe in. My relationships, my friendships. I thought that it was the perfect title.
You're my magnificent obsession. Can't get you out of my mind. You're my magnificent obsession. I think about you all the time. I think about
Find out more about Terry Wolfe and her CD, Magnificent Obsession, at www.terrywolfe.com. That's www.TareyWolf.com.
The morning of the latest plane said, why don't you just come home safe? It's quiet here, you won't pay no rent. You're so hungry, it'll kill you dead. And later in the sway, the subway car, I look at the faces that made it this far. Folks with babies and jobs and cars, thinking thoughts about where they are. And I think that I can't go home yet.
Jen Lindsay is a New York City-based artist who is part of the blossoming anti-folk scene.
Her CD is called Got a Lotta, and she has a lot to say, as she uses her unique playing and singing styles to push the envelope.
My musical style is folk music for the jobless, brave, and indignant. It's folk music written by a queer woman who thinks that whatever you are is to be celebrated, and tries to do that in all of her music.
Working these days through you and me, your snore scratching the air like a discourteous bear. Your fangs and your fur are easier to learn, but I could not lie there. Top da 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 da.
Da-da-da-da-da. You can learn more about the album Gotta Lotta by Jen Lindsay at www.jenlindsay.com. That's www.jenlindsay.com.
Mark Weigel is back with his fourth CD and his fourth appearance on Audiophile. And the album is somewhat of a departure for him.
I like a man who is crazy about me. I like a man who can live without me too. That's what I like about you.
The name of the CD is Different and the Same. And instead of singing his own songs, it's an album of cover versions.
These are songs I've wanted to do. They say things that I want to say, tell stories I've wanted to tell. And rather than sort of scatter them across a bunch of different records, I sort of took it as an artistic challenge to, you know, bring together a collection of cover songs that made sense and fit with who I am as an artist. And it was a really exciting process.
Jimmy, Jimmy, who can I turn to? You give me something I can hold on to. I know you think I'm like the others before. We saw your name and number on the wall. Jimmy, I got your number. I need to make you mine. Jimmy, don't change your number. It's 675309. It's 675309. It's 675309.
Find out more about Mark Weigel and his new album, Different and the Same, at www.markweigel.com. That's www.markweigle.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trenton. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Fenceberry, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, Steve Pride, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Some of the music you heard came from Forbidden Hollywood, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can also listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA. And thanks to AlternaBid and the Stonewall Society, you can still bid on some terrific items in an online auction to benefit This Way Out. Everything from collector's item books to CDs to historic political buttons. Look for the This Way Out auction area at AlternaBid.com. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 3PVR Mill Park, Victoria, KGNU Boulder, Colorado, WORT Madison, Wisconsin, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're all gonna stay tuned.